you. Well, here we are on a journey this morning. Usually, you know by now here at Bloomingdale that I am a scripted preacher. I am not one to go off script generally and go off of notes like I am this morning. But I'm giving it a try because we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. It's the first Sunday of Lent, and we're on a journey. So I don't want to stand up there and just talk to you about the journey. I want to help us go along it together, if at all possible. The well-worn path on our journey is often that we hear the scripture and we move to a kind of analysis or exposition. We think a lot. We sit and we ponder and we reflect, and that's all good. But it moves us a bit from the story to staying in our heads a little bit more than maybe what we want to do when we're on a journey. Maybe the communal experience of the journey is a bit lost when we are too much in our heads. So how might we go a little bit more deeper into the journey? How might we identify more with the characters in these stories? How might we identify more with the journeys of Jesus? I've been reading a book lately, this one, Anna Carter Florence's book. It's called Rehearsing Scripture, Discovering God's Word in Community. She uses this really neat image of something called the repertory church. And repertory, it's where we get that word repertoire from. It's kind of like this idea of the group that gets together to practice a play, right? A group of people that are rehearsing a script. And I like the subtitle especially where it says Discovering God's Word in Community. Discovery is more exciting than just having me go up there, I think, and explain what I think I found in the scripture. There's a place for that, but I think that idea of discovery opens something else up for us. Anna Carter Florence has this really neat image that she uses in here of how the Word of God is nourishment. It's like a fridge, she says, that we go to and there's plenty to eat in it. But she also uses this neat image of how the fridge is kind of like in a house with teenagers. Sorry, teenagers. And they walk up to the fridge and they open it up and they say, there's nothing to eat. And it's full, but there's nothing to eat. But she says what's really going on there is that A, the food needs to be prepared. They don't know what to cook or how. Or three, they'd rather have someone else do it for them. Right? There's lots of nourishment there. There's these steps. And Jaron, I know that's not you. You know, or Megan, I'm sure. Yeah. So the idea rather is how do we facilitate and how do we help that process of opening that fridge become a process of discovering what to do with all this nourishment, all of this biblical food that we can't really just kind of expect to just know right away what to do with. How do we discover the possibilities that are there with this nourishment? One of the ways that Anna Carter Florence suggests that we do that, that we have that discovery, is through rehearsing the text, through entering into it together as a kind of repertory church, a repertoire of actors who are practicing the script and trying to see what we find when we do that. But how do you rehearse a script? Do you sit down first, you read through it, right? Maybe you pick a character, maybe you think about it a bit, so there's that thinking aspect again. But you also don't want to overanalyze it. You want to kind of play it out. You want to see what happens when you play it out. It's in this form, we have that fun kind of example, right? I especially like that moment with William and Lannan. It's like, how do you baptize Jesus, right? And of course, people have debated that for a long time. Did he go under? Of course he must have, because it says he comes out of the water. Does that mean that immersion is the only authentic way to baptize? All those types of silly things we argue over. But there's that interesting question. How did it look? How did it happen, right? And the kids had fun with that. That was great. But there's another interesting way that Anna Carter Florence suggests that we can really get into the text a little bit more. And she says that's through reading the verbs. Reading the verbs. She says we often rather like to read the nouns, so the like person, places, or things. And then we get into all kinds of discussions about the nouns. So what did that word mean? Or, you know, like the Nephilim is an example she gives. There's these strange creatures in the, well, who were the Nephilim and how does that work? And We get caught up in the nouns and we forget about the action. So she says, when you're practicing the script, read the verbs. What are the verbs that are happening? And how does that maybe get us right into the story? When we argue the nouns, we maybe we have to figure out the translation. Well, what did that mean? Or when we think about them, sometimes maybe we can disassociate ourselves from, well, we're not at the Jordan River, so we don't imagine ourselves there the same way. But she says that when we read the verbs, we're put right into the action because we share those same verbs with the first people that are mentioned in those scriptures. In fact, she has this great line where she talks about the incarnation, Jesus coming as God sharing our verbs, or becoming one with our verbs, or something like that. So, how do we read the verbs in this passage from today? And what would that help us discover? What would we discover if we read the verbs? So I want to do that together. This is the repertory church. This is the church that gets into the script a little bit and tries to play it out and see what's going on. So let's do that by reading verbs. Micah, if you could look in the folder where all the files were for today, there should be a sermon PDF. I hope that that's synchronized. And if it hasn't, then did you? Awesome. And if you could project that up there. Okay. We're going to read the verbs of Mark 1, 9 to 13, and we're going to see what plays out when we do that. So, Micah, if you could get the first slide up for us. So this is also going to be a little bit of a grammar lesson, I guess, right? All right, so let's read the first verse. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. What are our verbs? Came. Okay, what else? Okay, here's another question that Anna Carter Florence asks you to consider. What are the tenses of these verbs? The past, present, future, or active or passive, you could say, too. Okay, so this was kind of like, it's actually a funny verb in Greek. It's called the aorist tense. We won't get into that. But it's just kind of like, it's not giving you much description. It just happened. Jesus came. So, it's kind of like a past. Yeah. What about baptized? What's going on there? Past tense, passive. Okay, so let's focus especially on the passive. Okay, so Jesus was baptized. He wasn't the one baptizing. He was baptized. Okay, so those are our two verbs. Do we all agree? Okay, let's do verse 10. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. All right, where are the verbs? Coming up? Yeah. Okay. What else? Saw. Torn apart, yep. Yeah, torn. And descending. Good. Okay. Okay. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Okay, where are the verbs here? Came, okay. Next. Are, thank you. Yep, you got it. Yeah. Yep. "You are my son, beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Yeah, the verb there is actually being well pleased. So, well pleased. It doesn't sound like a verb, but it actually is. Yeah, am well pleased. Am well pleased. Yeah. Okay. What about verse 12? "And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness." Yeah, Isaac. Drove. Yeah. Yeah, I said during the children's time, it could also be translated cast out. No, into is the drove him, that part is the verb, but not the into. Okay, what about 13? "He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him." Was, yep. Okay, so was tempted. Was. And waited, right? Waited on him, or served is another way it's translated. Okay, waited on him. Okay. Now, one of the things that Anna Carter Florence does is she says there's a number of questions we can ask ourselves about the verbs. First thing we can ask is, she has 10 actually, but I'm only going to go over 4. Who gets what verbs? Who gets what verbs? Who are the characters in the story? Yeah. Who are the, that's right. Yeah. Who gets what verb? Jesus. Okay, so Jesus came, right? John baptized. That's Jesus again, right? Jesus was coming up. And Jesus saw. Okay. There's a lot of Jesus here. Heavens were torn. Okay, so the heavens are. But this being torn here, that's a passive. Heavens are passively torn. So who is tearing them? God, right? What's descending? Spirit is descending. What was that part? Came. Can you go back a slide? Spirit was descending. No, back. Yeah, and a voice. Okay, so there's the voice. That's the voice of God, presumably, right? What about the R? Okay, so you, that's Jesus. You are. Okay. I am well pleased. Well pleased. God. The voice, yeah. Drove. And then was. Jesus was in the wilderness, right? Tempted. Jesus. Jesus. And waited on him. Angels. Okay. Okay, so we have a number of actors, right? Jesus, John, Spirit, the voice, God, the angels. There was the wild beasts too, but did it say the wild beasts? He was with the wild beasts, right? They were there. Okay, one of the other questions we could discuss, we'll see if it leads us anywhere. We don't have to dwell on it long, but one of the questions she asked you to consider is, what's the order of the verbs? So does the order change the way you experience it? Does it, for example, the order of the verbs here, like one thing I was suggesting to the children was, does the verb, I am well pleased, coming first, seem different when you consider that right after that, there's the driving into the wilderness, right? So the order of the verbs, is there anything that you, as you look at that, that you, I know my writing is not very clear, that you consider? Is there anything interesting about the order of the verbs? The order of the action. You could play with it a bit if you want, right? You could say, what if we flip the order around? How would that change our experience of the story if the verbs were in a different order? So that's something to think about. Okay. What do the verbs stir or evoke in you? What do they stir or evoke in you? Are there any verbs that jump out? Drove. Thank you, Darren. So this jumps out at you. Do you want to elaborate at all, or just apocalyptic? Oh, interesting. Yeah, he immediately had to go. Drove him out, cast him out. Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Interesting. Sharon said descending. Spirit descending. Mm-hmm. Tempted. Yeah. Where was that one? Here it is. Yeah. Waited on? Who said that? Thanks, Micah. Waited on him. Very soon we'll have all the... We don't like the R's and is's. Yeah, that seems so, yeah. Yeah. Okay. What do you remember? This seems like an odd question at first. What do you remember about these verbs from when you have played them? Are there any of these verbs that you've played in your life? Have you played any of these verbs? Or maybe, I guess if they're, some of them are passive, have you been played by the verbs? I don't know if that's the right way to put it. Torn, okay, yeah. Right. Yeah. So Twyla's saying, what if you flip the order of was tempted and angels waited on him? What would that be like to it if it was like, and the angels were with him waiting on him and he was tempted? Would that change your perception of what was happening? That's an interesting question. I have some questions to try to draw this out a little bit more. To get you thinking about these verbs. Okay, so Jesus came. Maybe it's as simple as asking the question, where did you come from to be baptized? That's a question. You don't need to respond, but I'll play through some of these questions just to get you in the mode here. Where do you come from today? To hear the affirmation of God. Right? I am well pleased. Where were you baptized? Or were you baptized? That's a question that comes up with these verbs. When has God met you with such clarity, that's my interpretation here, that it's like the heavens are torn open? When has God's Spirit descended on you? When have you felt driven or cast into the wilderness? When have you experienced God's angels serving you in your time of need? I know that's a lot of questions that I'm giving you here. This is a way to try to enter experientially into these stories. So what I want to encourage us to do as a congregation, and we're going to be doing it throughout Lent through experiencing the story, especially, is to play out the action. And then as you reflect on the scripture all throughout Lent, try to read the verbs. Read the verbs and find yourself in the story when you do that. And think about some of those questions that we went over. And let's see where the journey takes us. Amen.